Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the time.
Welcome, everyone, to a premiere edition of Heart to Heart Radio. Now, we were formerly called So Random Saturday, and as you are a fan of So Random Saturday, you know that I did the show with Karina Gonsalves out of Johannesburg, South Africa. I like to call her the hot host with the sexy voice. Well, we are waiting for Karina, but let's go forward while we're waiting for her. If you'd like to call in tonight, the phone number is 646-716-7979, and hopefully Karina will be here shortly. But for those of you that know that I'm a bit of a legal beagle and worked in politics and law and legislative advocacy for a long, long time. So whenever I hear lawyer jokes, they kind of get me excited, and I'm amused by them, to say the least. So let's start with a joke just to kind of lighten up the mood here while we're waiting for Karina. So here it goes. There's a doctor, a lawyer, a little boy, and an old preacher, and they're out for a Saturday afternoon flight on a small private plane. Suddenly, the plane develops engine trouble, and in spite of the pilot's best efforts, the plane's going down, and there's absolutely nothing he can do about it. The pilot grabbed a parachute, yelled to the passengers that they had better jump, and then the pilot bailed out. Unfortunately, there were only three parachutes remaining. The doctor grabbed one and said, "I save lives, I have to live," and jumped out of the plane with his parachute. The lawyer then said, "I'm a lawyer, and lawyers are the smartest people in the world," and he jumped out of the plane. The old preacher looked at the little boy and said, "My son, I've lived a long and full life. You are young and have your whole life ahead of you. Take the last parachute and live in peace." The little boy handed the parachute back to the preacher and said, "Don't worry, Reverend. The smartest man in the world just jumped out of the plane with my backpack." I thought that was very, very cute and funny and typical lawyer joke and things like that. And I do think we have Karina in the studio finally. Karina, are you with us?
I am, Michael. I'm here.
Very good.
How are you today?
Glad to have you here. I am doing very, very well. I just told the lawyer joke that I told to you the other day, the one about the lawyer being the smartest one in the world and jumping out of a plane with a little boy's backpack. If you remember that joke from a couple of days ago that I told you. So let's get going now that we have Karina Gonsalves out of Johannesburg, South Africa with us. I like to call her the hot host with the sexy voice. And today we have a very, very exciting show. As I mentioned, this is our premiere edition of Heart to Heart Radio. We were formerly known as So Random Saturday, and Karina and I hosted that show as well. But this is our very, very first edition of Heart to Heart Radio. And if you're a night owl and joining us tonight, and you'd like to call in and get in on all the fun, give us a call at 646-716-7979. Now, tonight is going to be kind of an at-the-movies version of Heart to Heart Radio. We're going to be talking about a movie called Saving Mr. Banks, produced by the Walt Disney Company, obviously. And it is an absolutely wonderful family movie if you haven't seen it. And let me, in case you haven't seen it, and to kind of set the segue and the tone for the show, let me kind of go over a synopsis of what the movie is about. Walt Disney's daughters, years and years ago, when they were very young, used to love the Mary Poppins series of books written by P.L. Travers. And that's not exactly her real name, but we'll get into that in a second. But anyway, they begged their dad to buy the rights and make the movie, Mary Poppins. And he promised them he would. But he didn't know at the time that it would take some 20 years to obtain the rights. Mrs. Travers was an insanely difficult writer who was not about to let Hollywood mangle her beloved books. She distrusted Hollywood. she didn't even really like Disney per se, Disneyland and the whole persona. It had a whole distaste in her mouth. And as her books stopped selling, as they kind of had run their course, she found herself pretty much broke. And her managers and her agents came to her and said, Mrs. Travers, or I think she was going by Pamela, even though her real name was Helen, they said to her that you've got to sell the rights to the book. You're broke. Got to sell it. And so she flew out to Los Angeles in 1961, and Walt pulled out all the stops. He had imaginative storyboards, and, you know, the songs from Mary Poppins were already being produced by a very famous music song duo called The Brothers. But she didn't budge. In fact, she was probably one of the most difficult people Walt had ever run into in his life. And in those first 2 weeks that she was there, it really looked like the rights to the movie would be lost forever. But it was only when Walt reached into his own past and own childhood and tried to really discover what was going on with Mrs. Travers that he really honed in on the ghost that haunted her, for lack of a better word. And as they say, the rest is history. And we're going to get into a little bit of that as we go along today. The rest is history. Mary Poppins was made into one of the most endearing films in cinematic history. It won multiple Academy Awards, starring Dick Van Dyke and Julie Andrews. And at the end of the film, you see at the premiere that Mrs. Travers is crying. And there's a lot of dispute out there as to whether she really liked the movie or not after all. But clearly the Saving Mr. Banks version has her as liking the movie. And she and Walt had become very, very good friends in the time frame after those 2 weeks. And she had sold the rights that they were producing the movie. Also, while they were producing that movie, she didn't improve at all. She drove everyone crazy. And the movie chronicles that as well. But it is a very entertaining movie. In my opinion, it was Walt Disney was played by Tom Hanks, and Mrs. Travers was made by Emma Thompson. In my opinion, she wasn't even nominated for an Academy Award, and I clearly think that she was robbed there. So what are we going to be talking about today with Saving Mr. Banks? We're going to be talking about, you know, as you might expect, almost all Disney movies have some lessons that we can learn. And Saving Mr. Banks was no different. And we're going to be talking about that. And Karina, do you have, I know you recently watched the movie for the first time. Do you have any thoughts before we get into those lessons on Saving Mr. Banks?
It was a very entertaining movie. And I must say, I really, really didn't like Mrs. Travers at all at the beginning. But we'll probably discuss why that was, because towards the end we understand her much better and we realize that it's so easy to, as opposed to looking at them and feeling compassion towards them. But we get to that point at the end of the movie. So I thought it was an interesting movie, lots and lots of lessons.
Yeah, one of the scenes, excuse me, one of the scenes in the movie that struck me was once the movie production got going and she had sold her rights, she flies home to London kind of in a rage and very, very upset. And the movie was in danger of the plug being pulled on it, because the way the rights were sold is she had to have final approval on everything. And she kind of left without telling Walt or really anyone else. And finally, they discovered she was back home in London. And so Walt jumps on a plane and tells a story from his past, and in a real attempt to make a connection with her. This was really the only way it was going to work. And I think Walt's insight into her psyche was absolutely vital to getting this movie finally made. And while he realized from the beginning she had some demons, he wasn't sure what they were. And he tried and he tried and he tried to figure them out. So he flies to London. And knows that she's been living with demons. And I want to read some. I couldn't find a clip to add here. on this particular scene from the movie. So let's just read it, and then Karina, you and I can talk about it. And if you guys would like to get in on the discussion, maybe you've seen Saving Mr. Banks and you have some thoughts on it, or you got some lessons out of it that perhaps Karina and I didn't, we would love to hear from you. The phone number is 646-716-7979. I am Michael Brooks, and I'm here with the hot host with the sexy voice, Karina Gonzoli. So we'd love to hear from you. Anyway, let me get to this dialogue in the movie, and I am going to kind of read this here. So this is Walt Disney. "But rare is the day when I don't think about that eight-year-old boy delivering newspapers in the snow on an old Elias Disney with a strap of his fist. And I am just so tired, Mrs. Travers. I'm tired of remembering it that way. Aren't you tired too, Mrs. Travers? Now, we all have our sad tales, but don't you want to finish the story? Let it all go and have a life that isn't dictated by the past. It's not the children she comes to save. It's their father. It's your father, Travers Goff." And this is Mrs. Travers. "I don't know what you think you know about me, Walter." And here's a little sidelight on Walt Disney. He never let anyone call him Mr. Disney. She tried to at the beginning, but everyone, including his assistants and his secretaries, they always called him Walt. So you could tell she was upset when she called him Walter, because she knew it was Walt. And here's Walt's response. "You must have loved and admired him a lot to take his name. It's him this is all about. Everything, forgiveness, Mrs. Travers, is what I learned from your books." "I don't have to forgive my father. He was a wonderful man," replied Mrs. Travers. "Walt, no, you need to forgive Helen Goff. Life is a harsh sentence to lay down for yourself." Now, Helen Goff was her real name. Her pen name was P.L. Travers, but her real name was Helen Goff. And of course, Walt knew that. And that's the way that scene ends. And let me repeat that final line for you here. "No, you need to forgive Helen Goff. Life is a harsh sentence to lay down for yourself." And here's a line from another scene from Walt speaking to Mrs. Travers again. "I think life disappoints you, Mrs. Travers. I think it's done that a lot. And maybe, just maybe, Mary Poppins is the only person in your life who hasn't." Very, very moving scenes from the movie Saving Mr. Banks here. Now, I think, and Karina, you can expand on this a little bit, that what we see here is nobody's exempt from hurt and pain, not even the legendary Walt Disney. He had his own demons when he was delivering newspapers and Elias Disney, you know, kind of ruling with an iron fist. And he remembered that, but he didn't want to remember it that way. So he was willing to forgive his father and forgive himself for whatever he thought that he might have done. So forgiving yourself and others, I think, is absolutely essential. My third point here is pain and despair does not have to define who you are or your future. A quote I often do in talks and speeches and even in writing is, your past does not equal your future. And finally, maybe you create others in your own image. Do you want to expand on, you know, anything from those scenes, Karina, that you got out of it that you want to expand on here?
I think probably one of the most important things for me here is how we allow our past to create our future, and we allow our past to make us the people we are. So we can take it as positive or negative, really. But how many people live in the past and stay there at the expense of the future or at the expense of the present? The past is also relative to the way we see it. So I agree with Goff here, Walt Disney, who says, why do we stay in the past? So Mrs. Travers needs to move out of the past, take the past, learn from it, move forward, and make it a positive future or present. I think that's quite important. And probably one of the most important things is forgiving yourself and forgiving others. So we remember things from our perceptions and we make them worse and worse and worse as we get older and older. And we're not really happened then, because it's all a perception, isn't it? The past doesn't exist anymore. So we need to go back, forgive ourselves and forgive whoever was present in that scenario, and so that we can move forward, move into the future without all this baggage and without all these chains. And I think that's what you said. That's probably one of the most important things for me, is forgiving yourself and others. Because we tend to forgive others, but we never forgive ourselves for what we think we've done or what we think others have done to us.
Yeah, and I think going back to the movie, for those that haven't seen it, there's some flashback scenes from when she was a little girl. And it's quite apparent that these were her demons. And her father was an alcoholic. There's absolutely no disputing that from the flashbacks in the movie. And I think in some ways that she actually blamed herself for her father's alcoholism. And that can be a problem. And quite literally, she gave herself, as Walt suggested, a life sentence based on what had happened in her past. And you can't really live your life and build your business when you have your own life sentence for some forgiving yourself for, or for others that may have harmed you in your perception or, you know, in reality. If you don't forgive others, if you don't forgive yourself, you're never going to be able to move forward. And I'm not talking about just your coaching practice or your business, but in life in general and in your relationships. You have to be willing to forgive people in your past and then move on. It's a new day. The past is the past. The future is the future. And the future can hold lots of promise if you can let go of that past. So I think that letting go is really the catalyst that provides healing and ultimately empowerment. And I know, Karina, you do a lot of healing work. So how do we do that? How do we forgive ourselves and others? How do we leave that past behind and reclaim our lives so we can achieve our destiny and move forward with the future with great abundance and success? There's the specifics of how do you do that? It's easier said than done, isn't it? But there are, I'm sure, some tips and some techniques that you, with your psychology background, could tell us to help us out here.
It is easier said than done. But the way I see it is that everything we, our past and everything that happens in our lives has made us the person we are today. So we need to look back and see where the blessings are in the situation, which, again, is easier said than done. For us as children, especially Mrs. Travers, when we're children, it's so easy to blame ourselves for things that happened. For her, she blamed herself for her father's alcoholism. How many times do we blame ourselves for our parents breaking up or divorcing or something happening? But we're so small, there's no ways that it can be our fault. But we don't understand that at that age. So probably we could be doing some inner child work and go back and appease that little child. That's a possibility. But I think learning from the past is important. Another thing that I also picked up from this is how we create others in our own image. So is everyone in our life, so is everyone that we meet mirroring things in our lives that we need to look at? That's possibly also a question or something we can look at as well. What do you think, Michael?
I want to hone in on what you said about going back to the inner child. So how does someone do that if they're not in therapy or have someone to help them do that? Is there a process that someone can do individually on their own that will help them forgive themselves, or do they really need a coach or a therapist in order to do that?
It's easier with a coach or someone to support and guide you. But possibly if you do meditation, that works sometimes, where you can go into yourself and find that inner child. But it is easier if you've got someone to support you, because sometimes going back to the past or finding that inner child is very, very scary. And it's easier to run away than to actually confront her or him. So that is a possibility, but it's usually easier just initially to have someone to guide you. And then once you've met your inner child, once you've met her or him, then it's easy to work with her. It's actually to get down and to meet her. It's scary stuff because most of us have so many monsters in our past, or even now, presently, we have monsters in our lives that we need to confront in order to get to where we have to go. Michael, your thoughts on that one?
I think let's move on. I think we've come in that. I think you told me something the other day that pretty much sums it up very, very well, my love, that if you can overcome the past, it'll give you the power to live the life that you want. And I don't think you really can live the life that you want, and you can't move forward in the future. You can't move forward in love. You can't move forward in life, and you can't move forward in your business. I know I'm kind of repeating myself here because we said that just a minute ago, but it bears repeating because it is so vital and so important to your happiness and your success.
Yes, I agree with you. Because we tend to carry the people from the past into our lives, and you'll find that we attract the same kind of people in our lives. In relationships, if we haven't dealt with our past or our parents and those kind of issues, we'll find that we keep getting involved with our fathers or our mothers in this case. And it's very easy to talk about it, but if we sit back and think about our relationships, we'll see the patterns within our life. What do you think? Have you ever thought about that, Michael, or analyzed those kind of things?
In what way?
In your relationships. So
have I ever analyzed?
In your relationships, you attract the same kind of person until you change as a person so that you can attract a different kind of person and eventually attract your soulmate or twin flame. But you
And I went through some relationships that didn't work and one that did, but unfortunately she left us and I did find my soulmate. And she's talking to me right now. So yes, I would say that all of that worked for me. And you?
It worked for me too. We have to go through.
I bet it did. Yes, it did. Very, very good. Let's move on, Karina, here. And because we are, the show is going very quickly. We are moving right along here. So one of the other things that struck me about the movie and a lesson that I think we can all learn from that is how Walt handled the hard heart of Mrs. Travers. And I think it comes through loud. Clear in the movie. Again, if you haven't seen it, you'll be able to understand this if you go back and watch it. It's available everywhere on DVD, and I don't know if you can find it on Netflix, but certainly you can order it through Amazon and things like that. So it's around. You can find it very, very easily. And again, the movie is Saving Mr. Banks, and it's starring Tom Hanks and Emma Thompson, and I highly recommend it. But she had a hard heart. She was just, as you said, Karina, you hated her in the first part of the movie because we didn't understand her. We didn't understand what her demons were. And Walt didn't either, but he was insanely patient and he provided positive, consistent action. And he delivered that consistent action with love, empathy, and caring. And over time, that softened Mrs. Travers' heart. In my view, Walt was not only patient and kind with her, but he was brilliant in how he handled that. He was taking these consistent positive actions towards her with her caring love and empathy that just melted her heart to, as much as it could be melted. And my takeaway there is faith, patience, and empathy can help people overcome even the worst of past traumas. And we're going to get into this in a second, but it gets into something that you and I had talked about in reviewing the movie as well, which is judgment. Walt was very, very careful to not judge her. He knew something was bothering her. There was something there. And he knew that there was a woman that could be happy and a woman that could be carrying herself inside of her. And he didn't know what it is, so he used examples from his own life to try to connect with her, as we had already previously discussed. And so I just thought that was absolutely brilliant in how he handled her. And Had he not handled her in exactly that way, Mary Poppins would have never been made. And plain and simple, she was ready to pull the plug and walk out the door. So, you know, and when we get to the judgment, and, you know, the first part of the movie, we hate her. She's unreasonable, she's bad-tempered, she's a total pain, and to everyone having to work with her, not just in the first 2 weeks where Walt was trying to wine and dine her to buy the rights, but in the production of the movie, the producers, the people writing the songs, even the actors and the actresses, Joy Andrews and Dick Van Dyke, and as far as I know, they never said a cross word about her, but she was horrible to everyone. But eventually, she softened up. And it was because throughout the making of the movie, Walt had become her friend. He would listen. He would connect with her. He would tell her stories. And he would let her vent. And he didn't judge her for her past. Thoughts on that, Karina?
Oh, yes. The past made him. So we hate her, but only because she's putting on a facade. She's protecting herself because of who she thinks she is and because she hasn't forgiven herself and because perhaps in one way she hates herself. So we hating her because she hates herself. It's possible. So if we see somebody and judge them, are we looking at them through their own eyes? That's also something that maybe we need to look at. But judgment, I think, so easy to do. So easy to walk past someone and judge them for who we think they are, and not giving them the opportunity to show them, to show us who they really are. And I think a lot of people, all they need, all they want, is just that connection. Connection is so important, and that's what broke her and broke her shell. And that was an opportunity for Walt to get to. That's what I'm thinking. So how easy is it to judge someone?
Are there other ways other than what Walt did to break down a hard heart like that you know of?
Well, I think a lot of ways, but probably we need to. It's very easy to just discount somebody, to look at somebody like I did with her. I can say that. I judged her from the beginning because of the way she behaved. We need to give people time. We need to give them patience. And we need to open our hearts to them, because a lot of them, like I've already said, that is, a lot of them are so afraid and they're just protecting themselves from being hurt. And she was very hurt with her past and her hate and dislike and unforgiveness for herself. So we need to be open-hearted to people, I think, in general. And possibly in some ways as well, Mrs. Travers and Walt had common ground, really, in some small way. So that's easy to connect. So perhaps we should look for common ground with people that we don't like, and look at ourselves and think about why we don't like them, because there could be something that they're triggering in us that we don't want to look at as well. It's my thoughts, Michael. What are yours?
Well, if you don't have something you can share, like Walt's past with his father and his newspaper route, what kind of questions would you ask someone, Karina, to get through to someone to try to understand them, to empathize with them, and to soften that hard heart, for lack of a better word?
I think it's possibly what we need to do is listen. We're so busy living our crazy lives and running past people and listening half-heartedly or not listening at all. I think we need to sit down and listen to people, and then we'll understand where they're from, and then we can ask the questions. Very difficult to ask questions if we don't know where we're coming from or where they're coming from. So I think open your heart, listen and hear and watch. Give them a bit of time. That's probably the easiest way to connect initially. Well, those are my thoughts.
I fully agree with that. Well, it's been, you know, for the first 30 minutes, it's been pretty heavy. We've been talking about some pretty interesting, heavy issues, but I think these lessons are very, very important to being able to move forward with the future, you know, forgetting the past, not judging people, and not giving yourself a life sentence for whatever it is that has happened in your past. Past is the past. But all these issues we've been talking about, judgment, even the positive, consistent actions and dealing with someone with a hard heart, pretty heavy stuff so far, wouldn't you say, my love?
That's very heavy. Very heavy stuff.
Very, very heavy stuff. So I think it's time to lighten it up a little bit. And I want to ask you a question. Karina, my love, would you like to go fly a kite with me?
Oh, I'd love to. That is, sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, let's go. Let's go fly a kite. Just so you guys know what's going on, the only clip I could get that I could that wouldn't violate copyright is one that where they're moving a piano into place here. So the song will be right here, right now. Thank you for flying a kite with me, my love. Very, very cool. And if I know you, If I Know You, you are going to now have that song in your head the entire rest of the day because it's getting started for you in the morning over there.
I will.
And very, yeah, I know you will. And a very, very interesting story behind the version of that we played. Like I said, there were some copyright issues with playing the actual Disney versions of it and things like that. But this version was in Los Angeles on Hollywood Boulevard when they had the premiere of Saving Mr. Banks. This kind of street artist just kind of pushes a piano out in front of the premiere theater playing the song. And what you're hearing there, and the reason the sound quality isn't all that awesome on it, is he's simply playing a piano with Let's Go Fly a Kite and getting everyone that's walking by to start singing the song. And if you watch the actual video of it, it's pretty hilarious because a couple people come and are listening to him and he's trying to get them to sing. And then before the end of the song, he must have had 50 or 60 people out there singing Let's Fly a Kite. So it's very, very cool. Very, very cool that a street artist could just do that and have people. And they all knew the song, of course, because of the film Mary Poppins. But I think the point that I want to make here, and then I'll let you comment on it, Karina, is no one is better at childlike fun and imagination than Walt Disney. In fact, you could argue that Mrs. Travers was too, because her books had all these wonderful lessons. And in next week's episode of Heart to Heart, we're going to delve more into the actual movie Mary Poppins and lessons from that. But even in her writing, in her book, and I think we have our first caller of the day, and his name is Grandfather Clock. He lives in Johannesburg, South Africa. And I think Grandfather, I guess he went away. So welcome, Grandfather, and welcome to the show. And Karina, is he gone?
He's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone. He just came in and put his head through, but now he's gone.
Yeah. For those of you that are regular listeners of So Random Saturday and now Heart to Heart, Grandfather Clock visits us on a routine basis during our shows. And he lives at Karina's house in Johannesburg, and he likes to pipe up and be a part of the show. So, and we're always welcome to have. He's always welcome to pipe in whenever he wants, or chime in would be more appropriate, I think. So anyway, back to childlike fun and imagination. Walt Disney, undisputed king of childlike fun and imagination. You know, he's created theme parks on four continents, has a film empire. Fortunately, he died very young, many, many, many years ago. And his whole mission in life was to make people happy. And everything he did was to make people happy, but do it in a very wholesome way. And you can argue that Mrs. Travers did, too, with her books, even though she didn't represent that in her life because of her bitterness and hanging on to her past. But when you know the story of Mary Poppins, and like I said, almost everyone's seen Mary Poppins, and we're going to get into the lessons of Mary Poppins next week. But childlike fun, having fun on a daily basis, is also, I think, vital to your success and happiness. Yeah, so we can feed the birds, ride a roller coaster, and or fly a kite like we just heard on the song. The joy of the child inside us, no matter how old we are, can't get lost. And if you let it get lost, you're not going to be as happy or successful as you could be. Thoughts on that, Karina?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I think you have to do something fun every day. So even if it is playing with your cat or feeding the birds or jumping up and down or playing with nieces and nephews and just coloring in, find something fun to do, even if it's for a few minutes a day. And see how things change in your life. That's a challenge. Michael, what do you think? Challenge out there.
There you go.
Anybody?
Okay, let's put it out there.
Do something fun every day. And tell us about it. Tell us what you do and show us.
Yeah,
do
absolutely.
Fly kites, go on a roller coaster. Or just laugh a lot.
Create that challenge right here. Tell us what you did for fun. In fact, let's do it over, let's start with, say, for the, you know, the next 7 days from the time, you know, most of you will be listening to this on a replay. So from the time you hear this, go on our heart-to-heart coaching site, which is facebook.com/heart-to-heart coaching. So just a Facebook page, go to facebook.com/heart-to-heart coaching, and you'll find information about Karina and about myself, scheduled shows, archive shows, and a whole bunch of other fun stuff that we post there. But you can go ahead and post what you did for fun today and tomorrow and the next day for 7 days consistently. And let's see what kind of comments we can get from that. That would be very, very cool. Sound good to you, Karina?
Very, very cool. It's very exciting. Then let's go out there and show everyone else what we do and give other people ideas. Also, see the growth within your life or the synchronicities when things are changing. Very exciting stuff. I think that's a very good idea, Michael. Thank you.
Okay, Karina. And we've got just a few more minutes left in the show. And if you are a night owl and listening to us live, this is Heart to Heart Late Night Radio, I should say, because it is very, very late in the United States. But Karina's day is just starting, so she's got the whole day ahead of her. And what are you going to do for fun today, Karina?
I might go to movies, or just go for a hike. I'll probably go for a hike later on. We've got a beautiful nature reserve not far from us, mm-hmm. with all sorts of zebras and little animals that we can walk through and see them as we walk along. Probably that's what I'll do today.
Yeah. In our show notes and in our pre-production talks about doing this show, you talked a little bit about giving yourself permission to laugh. What do you mean by giving yourself permission to laugh?
If we look at our past again, depending on how we perceived it and what kind of past we think we had, we go through life thinking that it's not okay to laugh or to have fun. In the grand scheme of things, perhaps it's a sin and we don't know what will happen. And a lot of people believe that if we laugh too much, then we have to cry because there has to be balance. So we need to give ourselves permission to laugh and to enjoy in order to grow and learn. So if we just sit down and say, you know what, it is okay to laugh, it is okay to have fun, it is okay to be silly. We don't have to be. I had someone said something to me the other day saying, you know what, you're a dreamer. And that's not okay, but it is okay. Depending on our perceptions, depending where how we've been brought up, we believe that it's not okay. We need to be practical. We need to be adults. We need to be stern and responsible. You can be responsible and still give yourself to laugh, permission to laugh and have fun and be child. That's okay. But you need to sit down and think that it's okay. So it's all about perceptions, really.
Sure, and I don't have a problem with green. Now I'm getting some feedback here, so let me move the microphone around here. Okay, there it goes. It has gone away. Chandra Rhimes, who is a television producer in Hollywood, recently gave a speech at a graduation, actually last year, last May, she gave a speech where she basically criticized dreaming. Because she said, don't be a dreamer. And her position was, dreamers sometimes don't act. So you're not talking about it from a business perspective. You're talking about it giving yourself permission to have fun and dream about what you're going to do from a fun perspective. But when you have business dreams and goals and you're looking at that, I think dreaming is important. But she's absolutely correct when she says that dreaming without action get you nowhere. Thoughts on that?
Yes, I agree with you. So with dreaming is important, but we have to take action because then otherwise it's just dreaming. And then it's pointless because we can't expect our lives to change if we're just dreaming about it and we're not taking action towards making our dreams a reality. So action is very important, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing happens without action. I say that all the time, but it's absolutely true. And you don't need to be perfect to put it out there. Just get it out there, and then it can improve. You know, like I told the story many, many times, speaking of Walt Disney, about Disneyland not being ready for prime time when they opened that first day in the 1950s. They were not ready. There was all sorts of problems with that. Yet within a month, he had over, you know, well, within a couple months, he had all these millions of guests, and all the problems they had on opening day had been solved. And he knew it wasn't ready to open. Right? He didn't know the extent of the problems because he was involved in a national television broadcast. But nevertheless, he promised that he would open on this date, and he did. And he knew it wasn't quite ready, wasn't ready for prime time, but he wanted to fulfill his promise, and he knew any problems he had, he could correct and evolve and grow. And he did that. And that's another lesson from Walt Disney. That's just absolutely super that we can all pretty much take to the bank. So, Karina, there's also in my notes here from our pre-production meeting, you were talking about kind of a minor character, but kind of an important one in the Saving Mr. Banks movie, and that was the cab driver. So you want to brief us on what the cab driver was all about when he was driving Mrs. Travers around, and how you came to admire that character in the movie?
The cab driver was, he was a minor character, that's fine, but he was an important one for me because he never judged her from the beginning. He picked her up and took her wherever, and she was really nasty to him on a lot of occasions, but he just took a deep breath and loved her, for the want of a better word, regardless. And he got through to her through her driving around. So I think he was a good character in a way that we can learn from him. And again, opening our hearts to people, because we don't know where they're coming from. We don't know their story. And we need to give them the benefit of the doubt. So that's why I like the driver. Connected to her from the beginning.
Great. And one last chance to call in if you're a night owl and listening to us on Heart to Heart Radio late night, for lack of a better word. We don't have a permanent time set right now for Heart to Heart Radio, but we will here shortly. So we are coming to you very, very late in the United States and very early morning in the rest, or at least in South Africa and Great Britain and Europe, very, very early in the morning there. And, of course, across the globe, where we have many hosts in Australia and New Zealand, it's practically evening over there the next day. So they're actually listening to the show from the future. So pretty cool. And I'm sure we probably do have some Australian listeners. So for all the Aussies out there, I hope you had an absolutely fantastic Friday. Karina, we're running out of time here. We're getting down to the final few minutes. Final thoughts on Saving Mr. Banks and the lessons that we can take away from this terrific movie.
Lots of lessons, Michael. Go back. Non-judgment. Look at people and don't judge them. You don't know where they're coming from. Open your heart and listen. Listen to them. But the most important thing for me.
Okay, Karina, let me stop you. Karina, it broke up there from the time you started at the point of my question. So why don't you back up just a bit and redo that, redo what you were saying there, because we didn't hear a thing you were saying on that. So, and now it looks like the connection has improved again. So why don't we start from the beginning on your final thoughts and lessons learned from Saving Mr. Banks.
Okay, final thoughts, judgment, open your heart, listen to people as opposed to judging them. You don't know where they're coming from. Give them the benefit of the doubt. A whole lot of things, face your past, learn from your past, but probably the most important for me is play. Go out, play, give yourself permission to play. Contact us, connect with us and chat to us. Let us know what you're doing every day just to play, to have fun, and to laugh a lot. Quick one for me, Michael. What about you?
Okay, I think we pretty much covered it for me. Letting go of the past is, I think it's going to be, you know, I'm going to pretty much mirror what you were saying here. So I think we're on the same page here. The letting go of the past, the moving forward with the future, the non-judgment. But again, imagination is so important to everything you do, not just in play, but in your business too. Because if your business, and particularly if you're a coach, and any kind of coach, in any specialty, without imagination, your business is going nowhere. You need to be imaginative. With imagination, your business can evolve. You can imagine new programs, new ideas. And one of the things I think, getting away from Saving Mr. Banks a little bit, but into Walt Disney, because anyone that knows me knows I'm a Walt Disney fanatic. I've written about him extensively. I admire him tremendously. He was a quirky man, but he was also very genuine, very, very nice, and with all due respect, brilliant. I mean, absolutely brilliant. And he may be the one person in the 20th century that had the best imagination of all. I mean, think about it. He came up with Disneyland, all the movies, and he literally invented Mickey Mouse. You know, in fact, he used to joke all the time that Disneyland was, a house built by a mouse. And, in effect, that was really true, because Mickey Mouse came out in the 20s. But from that, Walt imagined Disneyland, and he took action on his dreams, on his imagination. But you need to, you can't just get a business out there or get a coaching practice out there and say, okay, I do this, and not imagine new and creative and fun ways to transform the lives that you're meant to transform. Imagination is very, very important. Thoughts on imagination, Karina?
Imagination is important. Without imagination, we can't create our life or our future or anything, really. Imagination is important.
Absolutely.
So how do you imagine? Another question. How do you develop your imagination?
I think you kind of just let yourself go and be wild and crazy. If you're imagining ideas, put every idea you can think of down on a paper, no matter how wild or crazy it is. And whether it's a business idea or just someplace you want to go, put it out. Or maybe you want to jump out of an airplane and have a parachute. Or maybe you want to, ride a motorcycle across the Grand Canyon. Whatever it is, maybe you're imagining a business idea that will transform more lives than you ever thought possible. Put it all down and then take action on getting it done, whether it's for play or for pleasure or for business. Imagination is really nothing more than dreaming and thinking. Is that what you're getting at, Karina?
Mm-hmm. It is. But you also need to get out and talk to people and expose yourself to different things so you can allow your imagination to grow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, okay. I think we've come to the end of our At the Movies, Saving Mr. Banks Lessons Learned show on Heart to Heart Radio, late night version. I'm not going to get the phone number again because we are just about to close. And if you want to learn more about Karina and myself, our story, and what we're up to, you can visit us at facebook.com/ Heart to Heart Coaching. And we are on the Coach on Fire radio network here, and we have 10 brilliant and transformational coaches hosting individual shows. If you want to learn more about the network and find all of our scheduled shows, not just the Heart to Heart shows and the archive shows from Heart to Heart, all of our shows. If you want to find those, go to facebook.com/ Coach on Fire Radio. And I think that That about covers the promos for today. Karina, you've got a show coming up tomorrow night. Do we have a topic yet?
No, not really. I'll probably be dealing with relationships, all types of relationships. Might touch a bit on suicide. We've got teen suicide next week in South Africa. I don't know if it's an international week. I'm not sure. I have to check out. So we'll be dealing relationships, suicide kind of thing. Or
okay.
Not on my show. Do you dare, Michael?
Right. Do you dare? I always dare, Karina. Do you dare? Do you want to create a future? Do you want to create a future segment, my love, called Truth or Dare on here? Are you familiar with that game? Did I lose you? Karina, did I lose you? It looks like you are still there. We may be having some audio problems with Karina, unless she pipes back in here real quick. So Karina, one more time. I don't think I can get her back. Okay, well, anyway, do you dare to tomorrow night or tomorrow, and I believe that show is going to air at 10 p.m. Mountain Time. I can't confirm that with Karina, unless you're back. Are you back, Karina? Because I'm still showing you here.
I'm back. I'm here.
I'm back. And what I was saying, Karina, is your show is titled Do You Dare? Do you want to create a segment on Heart to Heart Radio called Truth or Dare between you and I?
Oh, that sounds like a brilliant idea. I like it a lot.
There you go. It was kind of a joke, but I figured you'd say yes. We'll talk about that off the air. Okay. Do You Dare tomorrow night with Karina Gonzalez out of Johannesburg, South Africa. And as you know, she's a hot host with a sexy voice. I think that is going to do it for us tonight. If you are listening live, thank you very much for staying up with us. We truly appreciate it. And again, one more time, we'd love you to like and visit us. And don't forget to challenge at .com/heart-to-heart coaching. Don't forget to challenge 7 days fun. 7 days. Do one thing for fun and post them on our heart-to-heart coaching page on Facebook. And we have a hashtag for that too, which is the hashtag and then heart-to-heart coaching. And by the way, that heart-to-heart is heart two, the number two heart. Not like the old Heart to Heart TV series that some of you may remember, especially if you're around my age or Karina's age, that with Robert Wagner and Stephanie Powers. Not that at all. It's heart to heart. So heart number two, heart. Anyway, we have come to about the end of the show. I apologize to all of the ladies out there. We ran out of time for Matthew McConaughey, Matt Damon, Jason Priestley, and for Claudia, Karina's sister, Jason Statham. So we'll maybe get to them sometime in the future, but our shows are so awesome, we really don't need them. Anyway, that's it for us tonight. This is Heart to Heart Radio on the Coach on Fire Radio Network. Karina, remember?
Remember, you're awesome.
Be great, everyone, and have a very, very good evening.
Thank you, Michael.
I can do anything, I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want, I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.